As you're all aware, I'm Brian Mattingley, the 888 CEO, and with me this afternoon, as usual, I have Aviad Kilbride, our CFO, and Itai Freiberger, our COO. I propose to give a brief overview of the year and the efforts we have employed in the year. Aviad will then run through the numbers, and Itai will give a review of operations and put some flesh onto the bones of how we have achieved this year's exceptional results. We had another great year. Revenue up 13% to $376 million, the highest 888 has ever achieved. Gross margins fell back from 82.9% to 82.1% as a result of additional gaming revenues, gaming taxes, of $4.1 million. Marketing ratios increased to 35%, up from 31%. Meaning an additional spend of in excess of $30 million. This was as a result of upweighted activity in our core markets, together with the launch of Spain and additional investment in Italy as we gained market share. Adjusted EBITDA for the year increased by 20% to $67 million, with a net margin of 17.8%, up from 16.8%. We are delighted with these results and are now confident that all the hard work that we have put in during the year has paid off. At the year end, we finished with $32 million of corporate cash, even after paying $11.1 million of Spanish back tax. We declare a final dividend of 4.5 cents per share, which is in line with our stated policy. However, due to the strength of our cash generation and the fact that we haven't paid a dividend for 2 years, we have decided to pay a one-off special dividend of 2 cents per share, making a full-year dividend of 9 cents per share. I'd like to go back to our strategy as we articulated to you in 2011, has remained intact throughout the last 2 years. We are focused on our core products in our B2C market. We continue to develop B2B relationships and we are concentrating on regulated markets. What we are doing now, however, is to ensure that we devote two layers to that strategy. One is engaged with our existing core business, ensuring that we give attention to these markets. These, at this time, are our core revenue streams, and it is important that we devote resource and investment to these markets, ensuring that our marketing initiatives are targeted and deliver excellent returns on investment. We deliver first-class CRM focused on customer acquisition and retention, and that we continue to develop our products and remain at the leading edge of the industry. This layer of our strategy also encompasses new delivery platforms for our products, such as the development being introduced of mobile technology and the way our customers access our products. The second layer of the strategy is the development of new and emerging markets. This is often seen as a sexy part of the business, the one that is new and challenging. And yes, we have been very active in these areas, but they have received no more attention than that of our core. We were incredibly active with the new regulation in Spain. We worked with the regulator and adapted our software to become compliant. This adaptation went through audit and testing, and we were ready for launch a long time before the actual date. The investment and resource employed here was the reason we were so successful in this market. The regulator delayed the launch dates more than once and was also undecided on the methodology to be adopted for the launch. Should they allow migration from .com or shouldn't they? Our team had every scenario covered. So 2 days before the launch, when we were allowed a migration program, we were ready and executed our plan to perfection. It is important for the business to recognize the need to ensure our core is up to date and at the leading edge, as all developments on the core trickle down into the new territories and we have first mover advantage as we move forward. Now I come on to the US opportunity. This now has become a reality. For the past 2 years, we have worked on two things. Our strategy for penetrating this huge new market, and one which we enjoyed part of during up to 2006, and also our platform and infrastructure to ensure that we were compliant and ready and available to support the strategy. Our strategy has three parts. The B2B arm with Caesars Interactive Entertainment, where we power the technical infrastructure and the operation. And for that, we received a straightforward revenue share deal in line with traditional convention. They spend the marketing dollars and promote the brand, which, by the way, is the WSOP brand, probably the single biggest poker brand in the world. We provide the expertise in the powerhouse which runs the operation, a feat not to be undersold. The years of development experience that we bring cannot be replicated by inexperienced operators or design engineers. This is our magic sauce and part of the mix which we are constantly sought out for. We then have a strategic alliance with WMS, one of the largest slot machine manufacturers in the world, who are now in the process of being merged with SciGames, who in turn are the largest US lottery operators. We see WMS as a sub-consolidator who, using their sales force and reach, can open the online world up to the second and third tier customers, signing deals with smaller operators who all join together to have joint liquidity and share in the economies of scale. This is again a basic traditional rev share deal, with us receiving 50% of operational profit surpluses as and when they arise. Again, like Caesars, we have no marketing exposure, but are prepared to undertake marketing duty for and improve rev share, but without marketing exposure. Lastly, and probably the most rewarding part of our strategy, is our equity joint venture with Avenue Capital, one of the largest financial institutions in the US. This is our B2C offering. This deal will bring all the power and know-how which exists at 888, together with the marketing funds to develop this market, coming straight from Avenue. The deal is very simple. We bring our knowledge and expertise, together with the technology and infrastructure. They bring the cash. We run the operation, we set the policies, we drive the marketing campaigns, and we push the operation forward. This is therefore 888 as it is today in Europe, replicated in its entirety in the US. In return for our respective contributions, we both get an equal share in the profits. However, on the way, Avenue receive a coupon on any loan or mezzanine finance they make to the company. And we receive a revenue share fee for running the operation. There will be these deductions before arriving at profit, and we both receive adequate returns to cover our costs before that profit apportionment. To date, our software has been updated and has undergone stringent testing by the Nevada regulator, and we are in the final stages of acceptance. We have closely worked with the technical team at the Nevada Gaming Control Board and have a great relationship, being one of the first software suites to pass the tests. We have built a new dentist data center in Nevada and installed servers which now house our complete software suite together with the infrastructure for the data warehouse. We have run live tests on the software, have completed dummy financial transactions with several of the US payment providers and banks. In essence, we are ready to go. We have completed our license application and have had the first hearing with the board last week. It was a good hearing, and the result was that the board were recommending us for approval to the commissioners. The commissioners' hearing is to be booked for the 21st of March, and hopefully on that date we will be the first non-US operator to hold an IGSP license in the United States. These are exciting times, and we are confident that we will be able to execute well thought through and formulated plans, not only for the 88 brand, but also for our partners at CIE and WMS. Our aim is to become the major poker platform in Nevada and demonstrate to the industry that 888 is the operator to work with and through in this vast new market. It is important because although Nevada is not a big market, it will be a trailblazer. and it will be the first of the dominoes to fall, bringing other states with it. Having already seen what has happened in Nevada, New Jersey have now passed a bill permitting not only poker but casino to be played online. And there are a further 11 states which have either accepted or are in the process of debating legislation on the topic. The US is now becoming a reality. Although we are optimistic at our plans, we are also realistic about the results. It is difficult to see any impact on our results in the current year and only negligible impact in 2014. However, 2015 should see some serious influence coming from the US and will hopefully go a long way to mitigate the tax burden inflicted by the UK government in that year. So we are therefore cautious at the speed and financial impact of the rollout, and I will be happy for you to estimate the market size as new states open. Suffice it to say, in our last full year in the US, which was 2005, we earned in excess of $150 million, or 55% of our total revenue, which even at today's prices is not bad. Now let's focus on 2013. While our focus for this year is not surprising, more of the same. We must continue to look, review and support our core products in our core territories. We will enhance and invigorate our products, drive growth through marketing campaigns and continue our practice of successful commercial and business analytics. We will continue to invest in mobile technology and ensure we perfect disciplines which are somewhat different to this medium compared to our traditional platforms, for example, in marketing and CRM. We are finding that this delivery mechanism is different and requires different skill sets to optimize performance. We will also continue to evaluate the social media opportunities, and although it is early days yet, there are optimistic signs that this medium could have some upside. We are all aware of the rank review of Blue Square, and as I said in the past, we need to be more competitive in the sports sector. Therefore, it will come to no surprise that we are completing a strategic evaluation of our sportsbook and will ensure that we are better positioned to take advantage of the opportunities in this sector and in different markets. Our aim, therefore, is to grow in our traditional markets. We grew the UK last year by 6%, a pretty mature market. To increase our market share in Italy and Spain by investing in market and product enhancement, and are preparing to launch for the new regulation in the States. I'd like to keep us busy in 2012-13, but we have the team, we have the knowledge, we have the product and the drive to succeed. I will now hand you over to Aviad to run through the numbers.
Thank you, Brian, and good afternoon to you guys in the audience. Highlight slide. Just want to start with the revenue. As you know, we've increased the revenue by 13% to $376 million for the year. The stellar performer was B2C with 16% increase year on year, out of which the casino increased 12%. To a very healthy $165 million, with poker increase of 44% revenue to $88 million. Casino and poker first-time depositors increased 31%, and this is a good indicator for how the business will continue to grow in coming years. Critically, the adjusted EBITDA increased 20% to $67 million. The adjusted EBITDA margin increased by a whole 1% from 16.8% last year to 17.8% this year. And this is despite paying additional gaming duties of more than $4 million this year compared to previous year. The adjusted PBT increased to $54 million and the EPS to 13.9 cents. The cash position remained healthy with $82 million at the year end, with $50 million owed to customers or $32 million corporate cash. As Brian mentioned, the dividend will be in accordance with the payout policy of 50% of accounting profits, plus a one-off 2 cents per share, bringing the entire dividend for this year to 9 cents per share. On the P&L slide, I would like to highlight a few items. If you look at the revenue growth of 13%, that was accompanied by operating expenses growth of only 4.5%. As we always mentioned, there's operational gearing in this business. Part of the OPEX will grow with revenue, like chargebacks and PSPs, but part of it will remain constant, and that is a demonstration. Selling and marketing expenses increased both in absolute terms to $131 million, by far the highest this group has ever spent, but also in ratio to revenue terms. And this is a direct result of our expansion into the newly regulated markets of Italy and Spain. If you strip these out, the marketing ratio remained fairly similar to what it was in previous years. On the next slide, you can take a historical view of our revenue from $59 million in 2003 to $376 in 2012, representing a 23% CAGR, or another way of looking at this, six-fold increase in 9 years, which is very impressive. Over the next slide, we've presented the geographical segmentation. You can see that we've grown in each of our reported segmental regions. In the UK, 6%, in Europe, 14%, the Americas, 44%, and in the rest of the world, 23%. The UK now represents 43%, down from 46% last year. And again, more than 50% of our revenue is now generated from regulated markets. The next slide is a slide which I don't think you've seen before. We've shown you the relative growth in each of our segmental markets broken down by our poker and casino. The first thing you can see here, first of all, that we've grown in our poker and casino in each of our reported markets. If you look on the right-hand side, first of all, on the casino, we've grown double digits in each of our markets with the exception of Europe, which only grew 6%. The UK, very saturated and competitive market, our casino grew by 13%, a very impressive number by any standard. On the left-hand side, you can see the growth on the poker. Again, in the UK competitive market, our poker grew by 14%, in Europe by 46%, the rest of the world 54%, and in the Americas 92%. This is a very impressive slide, which we're very happy with. On the next slide, you can see the revenue of B2C by product. You can see the casino was up 12%, as I mentioned, poker 44%, despite the bingo weakness was down 4%, and the emerging offering increased 16%. On the next slide, you will see our B2C casino and poker first-time depositors. What you can see is that we increased our casino recruitment by 37% compared to 2011, and the poker by 27%. This is across the board, but mainly driven by the newly regulated markets of Spain and Italy. This is an indicator of how the business will grow in coming years, and this is mainly the result of the increase in marketing spend by more than 30 million compared to the previous year. The next slide, you will see the revenue B2C by halves. First of all, this represents a 9% CAGR since the H1 2010, a very impressive number in itself. In H2 2012, remember we had the London Olympics, which impacted our B2C trading. And in H1 2012, we had the Euro football tournament, which impacted us primarily in poker. But yet, we've still shown very healthy growth in our B2C this year. On the casino side, H2 2012 demonstrated $82 million of revenue, slightly below H1. And again, this is a direct result of the Olympic Games. next slide, the poker B2C. Again, H1 2012 with $41 million despite the Euro tournament, and a further increase into H2 of $46 million despite the London Olympics. On the B2B, revenue remained pretty flat between the two halves and very similar to the year before at $46 million. On the next slide, you can see the graphic representation of our EBITDA in absolute terms on the left-hand side, increased from $56 million the previous year to $67 in 2012, and the margin from 16.8 to 17.8. And if you look at the more historical trend of EBITDA, quantum and trend from the disappointing 2010 with $29 million of adjusted EBITDA with only 10.9 margin to the 17.8 of last year. If you look at the marketing cost ratio, I already mentioned the ratio increased from 30.8 in 2011 to 34.9. This is a result of the required marketing spend to penetrate the newly regulated markets. Itai will mention later on the results, which are quite strong in these markets. This is the cost side of it. Importantly, the CPA, the cost per acquisition that we pay, remained very similar to previous years. So what we see is that our lifetime value, you will see another slide in a minute, lifetime value actually improving, CPA is kept pretty much similar to previous years, overall marketing spend increases, and the number of FTDs increases, and this is the fuel for future growth. The next slide is a breakdown of the cost structure or the other side of the EBITDA margin. As you can see, the gaming taxes and duties increase in percentage terms from 2.2% to 3.1%. However, admin expenses were kept under control. They're actually slightly down, and therefore in percentage terms, they went down from 8.3% to 6.8%. R&D as well went down slightly in absolute terms, and also in ratio terms from 9% to 7.2%, and all the rest went into marketing and expansion in margins. On the Chargebacks and PSPs, actually there's nothing much to report, pretty much in line with previous years, and that's actually a good story. No news here. The next slide, you will see the customer incentives on the B2C casino. You can see despite revenue increase of 12% over the period, we've managed actually to do this with lower ratio of customer incentives, down from 29% in the previous year to 24% this year. So we've been asked questions, are you growing your business at the expense of giving more and more bonuses and incentives? The answer is we're doing it efficiently and in a calculated manner. On the next slide, you will see the exact same situation in the poker, whereby here the ratio of the historical business or traditional business remained at 20%, but there's another 3% which we incurred in penetrating regulated markets. Again, at 44% increase in poker revenue, this is a very good result, which we're happy with. Just a few words on the balance sheet. There's no debt, there's no earnout, there's no legacy, there are no issues, just $50 million of customer deposits and $32 million of corporate cash, a boring and healthy balance sheet. The last slide before I hand over to Itai is our cash flow statement. We've generated net cash from operating activities of $71 million. What we've used it for was to pay the legacy acquisitions, which is the $37 million. We've invested in CapEx close to $11 million and paid some taxes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Itai.
Hi, everyone. Thank you very much for coming here to hear our story today. 2012 was a... 2012 was a great year for 888. During the year, we were able to develop a number of opportunities that could be significant in our future growth, including mobile, US, social, while continuing to develop our product and business relationship. In today's presentation, I will talk about the key drivers of success in our operational capabilities, key marketing performance, our successful product portfolio, and where we want to go from here. As you can see in this slide, we broke almost every operational KPI record during 2012. In March, we broke our January record for first-time depositors in casino, and then smashed that record again in December by 14%. And then there were a few more records, as you can see in the slides above. That demonstrated that there were no spikes in the business, but the all key KPI are constantly rising, and none of the growth performance was a result of a singular event. The business today continues to grow, and we are aiming for a similar growth trend in demonstrated in 2012. Another operational achievement is increased lifetime value. Usually when you grow a business, you have to pay a price in lifetime value and marketing efficiency. But as you can see, despite our growing numbers of active players and revenue, we are seeing an overall growth in lifetime value by any comparison. This is exceptional and underpins the strength in the three key building blocks of our business: the platform, our in-house marketing agency, and our exceptional data analytics capabilities. All are interconnected and create a powerful gaming machine. In product, we continue to invest in our complete product portfolio and core platform, ensuring we maintain our best-in-class position. This investment has proved a key strand in our strategy as we sustain and enhance our competitive edge. Our market-leading infrastructure and platform gives us confidence when venturing into newly regulated markets with the knowledge that will give first mover advantage, as shown in a successful launch of our Spanish business. These will become even more important as we aim to launch our US business with the target of becoming one of the leading players in the biggest gaming market in the world. During 2012, we also invested considerably in our in-house marketing, leveraging a proven track record of campaigns, which were constantly evaluated based on return on investment criteria and clinically analyzed as to their impact on customer behavior and earnings. We further enhance our capabilities by automating most of our marketing processes, putting to force an established building an established business analytics culture. This allows us to run thousands of campaigns through dozens of marketing channels. It was the cornerstone of our success and something we believe differentiates us. Poker is a significant example of our integrated poker product and marketing approach. We have constantly outperformed the poker market, with only the summer seasonality and major sport events such as the London Olympics and the football season kickoff slowing us down. Poker overall continues to be a maturing market, whereas 888 is gaining market share from competitor and tapping into new market segment, recreational and entertainment-driven customers. As described before, this success is not attributed to just one element, but rather a combination of product marketing, network management, and analytics. Another interesting view of our poker is the industry trends since the relaunch of Full Tilt Poker under PokerStars Financial Muscle and Management. You can see in the slide that our 888 Poker Network is the fastest growing network today in the industry and flourishes with the relaunch of customer awareness created by Full Tilt returning to the market. This is yet another great example of 888 product offering and brand. We have developed a strong mobile offering into which we have put all the experience, knowledge, and our product platform. Today, we offer a full suite of our offering on mobile, ranging from iOS native apps, HTML5, to Android tablets, smartphones, our full product range in multiple jurisdiction and marketing channels. This has been a challenging effort. The mobile platform companies have their own agenda, guidelines, and regulations. The customer base in many aspects is new. We have adjusted our CRM and acquisition protocol to improve our business performance, and due to the automation and our superior core platform, this is on course to be a replica of our established legacy web-based platform. Let's look at some performance indicators. You can see in this slide that mobile is rapidly growing and becoming a significant element in our acquisition strategy. Overall numbers are still small relatively to our web proposition, but we expect these KPIs to have tangible impact on the business in 2013. Our proposition in various app stores is pivotal to our mobile marketing and we have learned and applied our practices in this field, much like we have in traditional marketing channels like SEO, PPC and others. We are continuing to optimize and improve our positions across all products and apps. On social gaming, it's still a very much nascent part of our industry. However, with our recent Facebook casino launch, we are currently the leading operator of real money gaming on this medium. We are very excited by this opportunity and proud that Facebook trusted us as an operator to deliver not only the best class product, but with all the responsible bells and whistles that go with our traditional operation. The social element is also tightly connected to the mobile platform, which I've covered, and offers several avenues of growth for us. It's early days. As we are cautious, it remains to be seen how this will develop and perform. But as we see the ongoing success of freemium operators, this could become a key market in our industry, and today we are in pole position. Our strategy is focused on regulated market. Italy was regulated some 6 years ago, and we obtained our license later in the regulation life cycle, with only a casino product. This market proved quite challenging, as we have a single product and we are against large local trading entities with significant physical footprint. Despite these challenges, we launched with our traditional aggressive and market-tailored strategy, and today we see our market share similar to that of established competitors who have entered the regulated market in its inception and have spent a considerably higher marketing budget in brand awareness. Slot machines were regulated in December 2012, and we launched the very same day, utilizing our newly established in-house game studio. We were also first to market in deploying our live casino offering, fully localized for the Italian players. Since the launch, we have seen revenues in this market almost double. We are confident our market share will increase going forward, as we see significant portion of the market, 27%, being held by very small operators, so there is still lots of room to grow. As we have told you many times, we are exceptionally proud of our performance in Spain. We have captured almost a quarter of the market in casino and poker, and we have done so while we have yet to deploy our sport offering in a country whose online growth has been powered by sports betting. Here too, we were first to market with our live casino product streamed from a land-based casino in Spain. Both of these newly established markets demonstrate that 888 is quick to react, professional in execution, and focus on profitable growth while securing leading position early. This gives us confidence that we have the right product, the right team, and the right methodology to tackle other new regulated markets as they arise. Sorry, I forgot to skip the slide. Now let's turn to the next market, which is entering an exciting phase, the US. Today we are seeing tangible evidence that America is going online. Nevada has passed its bill, and we will hear about at the end of the month as to our license. New Jersey is a state with significant market potential, regulating both poker and casino, which changes the landscape of regulation and complements our core competencies. There are other states in various stages of decision making, and we keep abreast of all actions and activities within these states. We expect the investment made late 2011 and 2012 to bear fruit in the near term. 888 now has a fully operational data center in the US and banking relationship with leading US banks. These key components will allow us to process deposits from US players under rigorous local regulations. Yet again, I want to restate that our US platform is a result of everything we have done in Europe and brings with it 15 years of knowledge and experience in the industry, exceptional and proven market capabilities, a proactive business analytics, and our ability to achieve leading positions in new markets. Creating the right business foundation for the US operations was also something that we invested significant effort. As you all aware, we have established a three-part strategy that will support our effort in becoming a leading online factor in America. I won't dwell on our relationship with CAE and WMS that we have covered many times before, but you should know that these relationships continue to strengthen as we move forward toward launch and will cement our first mover advantage in the market. We are delighted to have announced our JV with Avenue Capital, one of the leading financial institutions in the US, which holds a long-lasting relationship with local gaming giants in the US. The All-American Poker Network JV will provide 888 with a final piece of the jigsaw in our strategy. AAPN will allow us to launch our B2C brands utilize our marketing experience and all the other features that we have described earlier. We marked an historic occasion last week with the NGCB recommending 888 as a service provider, as well as our operating partner Treasure Island, and we look forward to the final hearing in front of the NGC later this month. We're very excited about this opportunity in the U.S. and confident that today 888 is better positioned than anyone to capture this market and become a dominant force across the pond.
Thank you very much indeed, Aviad and Itai. Just really like to summarize very quickly, a strong year, consistent performance across virtually all of our product verticals. Bingo still remains a challenging product group. We've continued to focus very much on regulated markets, very much on our bread and butter products with where we have a proven track record. We continue to enhance and upgrade our products to ensure we're at the leading edge, as well as introduce new products both in terms of mobile and social offerings. We are well positioned, I think, in the US, and have formulated plans in readiness for the launch in these demanding markets. So overall, we are set well and in good health for 2013. Current trading is strong, 8% increase in revenues quarter on quarter to date, and we remain confident in the outlook for 2013. Despite two aspects, one is the cost pressure that will be with us in terms of developing the new markets as they come along, and secondly is the currency rates that are failing against us at this moment. So I'd like to thank you all very much indeed for coming along this afternoon, and we'd be only too pleased to take questions as they arise.
It's James Hollins from Investec. Three from me, please. The first one is on the European casino growth of 6%. It was the only one at single digit. Is that all to do with product restrictions in Spain, or is there something else which explains why it's softer than other areas? The second one, marketing spend of 35% as opposed to, I think you're saying, normalized, or certainly in 2011 was 31%. Are you sort of keeping your foot down this year, particularly because of Italy and Spain, probably around 35% again, or will that come back a bit? And the final one was on the Nevada license you're going for. Just a bit of clarity, does that allow you to be B2B and B2C, or, you know, do you have to try and, will you try and get a full sort of B2B, B2C license in Nevada?
Would you like to take Europe?
Yeah, I'll take the first two questions, James. You're absolutely correct. The casino in Spain, the regulated casino, had several restrictions imposed on it. Primarily, there are no video slots allowed. There are also restrictions on the amount of deposits people are allowed. There are also reporting requirements which some VIP customers are not particularly happy with. And initially there was no what we call live dealer casino allowed in Spain, which we introduced only recently. So the result of this is that our casino business in Spain is way below the revenue it generated before the regulation. As I said in previous discussions, our poker more than overcomfort. And at this moment in time, our revenue in Spain, even after gaming tax, is higher than what it was before. But when you look at it per casino, definitely that had an impact. In terms of the marketing ratio, obviously when we need to penetrate a new market, you spend a higher ratio than your steady state situation. Gradually we will migrate towards that normalized rate both in Italy and Spain. Although overall I think the ratio that we've seen in 2012 is probably around what it's going to be going forward, because we're going to move further and further into regulated markets. So there's going to be two impacts. I think the current ratio that you've seen is a good indication.
James, in regard to the license, I think we should be clear to say that our license hearing and our recommendation is to be granted an IGSP, an international gaming providers license. To actually be able to operate in Nevada, you also need an operator license as well. and in every instance we have three operators which we are operating with under their license. One is that of Caesars, where we have the B2B deal. One is WMS, which is also licensed, and we have that as a strategic alliance. And we have teamed up with Treasure Island, so therefore we will be able to launch our B2C prospect through the license, operating license of Treasure Island and the joint venture of AAPN.
On the AAPN, which one of those would involve the launch of, let's say, 888poker.com?
AAPN will be our B2C brand in Nevada.
And do Avenue Capital have an operator license via one of their assets?
Sorry, say that again, Nick.
Do Avenue Capital have an operator license via one of their assets?
No, they don't. No. So the operator at this moment for AAPN is Treasure Island. And that is something that Avenue ourselves have negotiated with Treasure Island. Mr. Carter, please.
Okay, I'll kick off with, could you give us help us understand what the currency impact is likely to be this year?
Yeah. As you know, the last time currency impact was in Q4 2008. The pound dropped from a height of 2.1 to 142, if I recall correctly, at the beginning of 2009. And thank God we don't exhibit anything like that. From what we've seen so far, a pound weakness of about 8% compared to the dollar since January and 2% against the euro, we have estimated that this will have an impact at these levels for the entire year of about $3 million.
Revenue or profit?
Profit, this is EBITDA impact.
So in terms of revenue, would we expect some lightness in revenue going forward? And that's how it comes through, is this mainly on a cost side?
I think the comparatives to last year will become difficult, or slightly difficult, and we're yet to feel all of it, if you like. But as I said, EBITDA impact about $3 million.
Okay. And then you talked about mobile, and could you, the chart that you showed there, what actually is that? Is that new sign-ups, or is that
it's
actual
a percentage
revenue?
Of new customer recruitment as of entire customer recruitment per product.
Could you give us an idea of where we are in terms of revenue, so we can sort of...
Revenues today are irrelevant because they're it's quite small, single digit. But I think the growth trend, especially the FTD slide that I showed you, show how significantly this is actually growing. So I would expect mobile to become a more, you know, a bigger part of our business going forward, as both as an acquisition channel, but also as a retention channel. So there are lots of activities that we are now actually starting to learn between crossing them between the two different platforms, whether they were acquired on a PC level or on a mobile level, whether mobile is a retention tool that support the PC platform. We look at that as an incremental element of our existing portfolio.
So today revenue is less than, you're saying it's nearly single digit, low single digits as a proportion of...
Single.
Okay. Then just on R&D, obviously it fell 9%, and you look like you've capitalized quite a bit. What should we think about in terms of R&D going forward?
I think first of all you need to understand in terms of the number of people that we actually employ in development, that number did not fall, actually increased. So we've actually expanded our investment, especially into the US market, but also in Spain and Italy at the time. But we've capitalized more. I think that the current level is a good estimate for going forward. So previous year level, similar level this year.
Okay, and then just finally, in terms of Cashcade, I think the contract comes up at the end of this year. Could you give us an idea of what impact that would have in terms of your profitability if that wasn't renewed?
First of all, the contract terminates in 2014.
Okay.
Itai?
Yeah, well, we're working on mitigating some of the effect of that contract. I don't know exactly how it's actually going to end up. There's still a lot of time before we need to deal with it.
Yes, but can I have an idea of what sort of impact it could possibly be?
It will have an impact. It's not, you know, it's not the majority of that part of the business. It is a substantial part of the business. But I still believe that we will be able to mitigate some of the risks or some of the loss of revenues that will result as us losing that relationship. I cannot say exactly what is the percentage that we will lose as a result of that contract.
Okay, and just finally, in terms of trying to work, do you estimate what impact the point of consumption tax would have on your business?
We do not believe it will be the full 15%.
No, but fine. So if it was the 15%, do you have an estimate of what impact it would have?
It would be in single figures, we think, as a percentage of...
Okay, I'll ask it another way. UK revenue is 162 million. How much of that is B2B, so I can work it out?
Out of the 162?
Yeah, because you've got some... you've got Cashcade in there as well, haven't you? Oh, sorry, the B2B. How much would you say is B2B?
The majority of the B2B business is UK.
Okay, so just take that number. Okay, thanks.
Hi, a couple of questions actually on Mytopia. Can you just give us some idea of where that business is now in terms of profitability stroke loss making? I saw that obviously the Americas was very strong. Now some of that may have been down to Mytopia, but it looks as though it might be a bit more to do with perhaps Canada. I don't know if that's the case. And as far as the investment in the game studio has gone, is that having much of an impact, positive impact on the business at the moment, or is it still very much in the investment stage?
Right, first of all, Mytopia was restructured in the course of the year. I don't think Mytopia as an entity exists anymore. What we have done is we have built the social gaming elements into each business unit. So each business unit now has a control element in there which looks after social as well as mobile as well as traditional opportunities. So that in itself has reduced the cost base. We are seeing now some real contribution coming out of Mytopia. Not massive, but it is a real contribution. And therefore we consider that at this stage it's washed its face.
North America, the growth is twofold. Number one is from poker in Canada, and number two, indeed, from the Mytopia social networking, which is coming from the US. I just mentioned this before. We've doubled the revenue of Mytopia since we acquired it, and it's definitely not losing money.
Game studio is in its infancy. I mean, we produce 3 to 4 games a year. It is making a differentiation between us and other partners, other competitors. We are in the process of going through license agreements with big studios to be able to capture more games. And I think also we have perfected a piece of technology which allows a sort of a plug and play. So not only is Game Studio allowing us to develop our own games, but we now it's easier for us to be able to bring games into the overall games network.
I will add one more thing about this. What we're doing with the Game Studio now is making it a core for all of the rest of the offering. So once we develop a game once in the Game Studio, we can then take that game into smartphones, Android, iOS, tablet, smartphone, iOS, web, PC, web, no download, social, etc. So you develop the game only once and then market that product into the different channels that we operate in. So it's very effective in that way.
Is it possible to say what sort of proportion of revenue actually came from in-house games last year?
A lot of it, but it's not only the game studio. Don't forget that we have legacy games that are already embedded in the system for years now. I think, as Brian said, 3-4 games a year, we see very, very encouraging trends about the games. As we move forward, we see the new games becoming more complicated, more creative, and more attractive to customers. So I think the recent games that we launched, we see very significant footprint in terms of customers actually using them. We're very happy with that.
I think, Nick, it's true to say that there is a return on investment, all right? I don't think it is that impactful in terms of the overall revenue stream from games, but the investment that we have in people, investment that we have in signing up licensed deals, it more than washes its face, but it gives us a point of differentiation.
Hi, can you expand a bit more on the US, please? I guess two areas. Will All American Poker Network be a consumer-facing brand, or is it more a bit like iPoker for Playtech, and the consumer-facing brands will be the licensees on the network? And then secondly, Caesars have made some pretty definitive comments, it seems, that they don't want to extend their software relationship with you beyond the short term. Can you explain why, from your perspective, they wouldn't want to, please?
Well, I think that let's look at AAPN first of all. AAPN is the replica of 888 as it sits today in Europe, in America. All right, it is a B2C, business to consumer proposition. It will bring all of the aspects that we consider to be our strengths, our core skill sets, to bear on the American consumer. That is marketing, using our campaign manager, using our data warehousing, undertaking all the business analytics, everything that we do in and around Europe, that will be driven through AAPN. Caesars don't have that, WMS don't have that. We are literally providers of the power to drive their networks. AAPN is ours. So therefore, in the first instance, it will be the 888 poker brand. And if it goes into New Jersey, it will be 888 poker, 888 casino, and any other strategic or tactical brands we like to bring along with it. However, within that opportunity, we will also create B2B type operations as well, where operators come in with their own license. So for example, and this is hypothetical, you could get Hard Rock, who have got a license in Nevada, who haven't got a platform, who may actually join the AAPN network, which will then allow us to share the liquidity on that. But it would, but in essence, it is our B2C offer. In terms of Caesars, I will let Itai deal with that because we've had several discussions with Caesars on this comment.
You had a different...
No, I was just going to just come back on the AAPN network.
Yeah.
Would you veto some of your, let's call them competitors in certain markets? Let's say William Hill gets an operator license for poker in Nevada. Would you let William Hill come onto the AAPN network?
If William Hill have got a license, and William Hill are a significant B2B customer, we would welcome them with open arms.
I think you made a statement before about iPoker in reference to AAPN as a network. I think it's a good comparison, I think, when it comes to the network itself. What Brian said, you know, the 888 brands will reside on that network, and that will allow us, you know, to control and to manage that network. We will be able to decide if we want to invite others to join that network, and that would be a decision for us to understand whether that actually complements us and creates some incremental value. Because I think we know today that poker networks that are too public are becoming somewhat of an issue, so we have to be careful of how and what we do with it. So I think at stage one, you will find two brands over AAPN. This is for today. One would be 888, which would be the prime brand. That would be the brand that we will market, and potentially a sub-brand, which is Treasure Island, on that network. With regards to Caesars, I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, when we first went into this U.S. trip, we insisted that the relationships are non-exclusive. We wanted to allow ourselves to open up and to create multiple variants of our business to capture the opportunity in America. We identified three that we wanted to have, and we shared that with you. And I think today what we're happy about is that we finished having those three. We could have more. Depends on the opportunity. Depends on where we want to take that. So we can theoretically have additional relationships in that market. Each one of the relationship that we have there, that was one of our main requirement, was for a non-exclusive deal. Now, I think when it comes to Caesar, you know, they are a very big operator, provider, a very big company in America. I think for them, when they look at online, online is becoming a key factor or a key element in their strategy. I don't think they can allow themselves to be reliant 100% on someone like, on an external, on a third party a partner. Therefore, they develop, if you want, an insurance policy. Maybe that would be the best way to describe it. The relationship we have with them is exclusive on WSOP. They may decide that they want to take a tactical brand and develop it with this new technology that they want to build or to provide. My personal opinion is that, you know, building a new infrastructure or a new gaming platform is something which is slightly more difficult than anyone would actually expect. If that were the case, then I would presume that most of the big operators here that are currently using third-party platforms by someone else would have done that. They are actually more advanced than anyone else, you know, Ladbrokes or William Hill, you know, they know exactly what they need, they know exactly where they are. And I would expect if that was something that you can just throw 1,000 people for a year, they would do it. I also think that, you know, if Caesars had serious plans about moving out, they would probably start by moving out and not starting with someone else and then dealing with the migration. We have a very good relationship with them. We have a very open relationship with them. We respect their desire and their need to have their own proprietary platform as something that they can decide in the future what they want to do with it. But I think for now, I don't see anything that can come across. The relationship is strong and we're working with them very, very strongly in order to launch Nevada and then New Jersey. So I'm quite confident in our ability to give them a good service.
And then just to follow up on New Jersey, and it may just be too soon, but does each individual casino have a license, or is it the casino owners? Because if it's the individual casino themselves, then Caesars could have four separate partners.
They do. Caesars has four, MGM has three.
Yeah, so it's each individual casino has the license, so you're quite right. So Harrah's will have, or Caesars will have, four licenses. MGM will have three licenses.
They may decide to use only one, but potentially there are three. What it actually means, the practical implementation of that, is that out of the 12 licenses that are available today in New Jersey, four goes to Caesars, three goes to MGM, so there are very few that are left there, and I think the challenge in New Jersey is around the license. That's where it is. In Nevada, by the way, there are plenty of licenses. California, there are 130 different licenses. So the more licenses, the less of a commodity it becomes. Okay?
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. If shareholders really like the one-off dividend, will you make it a two-off dividend?
No.
Well, clearly, we said that we've not changed the dividend payout policy. We reserve the right according to our investment needs, marketing needs, to do whatever we see fit. At the moment, we have sufficient cash to achieve our objectives, and if we don't need the cash, we'll pay it back, but no promises being made.
And when's real money gaming on Facebook going to be interesting? What are you going to be saying about it in 12 months' time? What have you learned from operating in that environment?
Well, I think that there are some encouraging signs. We see the CPAs, we see the registrations, we see the conversion, we see the lifetime value that they generate. We understand the viral element and how we need to engage with the lifetime element. Is this a real business? Is this something that can actually become another, you know, like a freemium, if you want, in terms of its validity and revenue? I can't say. I can only say to you that we are dealing a lot with it, we're investing a lot of it. We have two live products already on Facebook. One of them started December 12th, that bingo. One of them is live for a few weeks now, I can't remember exactly when. So we do get some track record and we do experience with it. If it is going to become a significant element or something that is worthwhile having, then I'm sure that we will be in the pole position, you know, to decide to become the first one to enjoy it. So I think now we are investing, we're learning. It's a different world out there. The product itself is a hybrid, if you want, between the freemium products and our traditional gaming product. It's like, if I suggest you take a look at that, maybe even deposit a little bit. It's when you go into the casino, there are certain phases, there are challenges. You can't just go in and deposit something and get your money out of it. You have to do certain stuff in order to move forward in the game there. So it's a completely new and a different approach as to what we have today. It's nice.
Do you think you make money within Facebook, or is it just a way of accumulating, acquiring customers to take to an activity with the same brand name outside Facebook?
It's not the same brand, by the way. The Facebook brand called Magic 888, 888 Magic Casino. The revenues are unlike traditional Facebook activities where you deposit through Facebook. Here you deposit directly with us. We do the responsible part, you know, the responsible gaming part. We do the underage check. We do the fraud checks. Everything that has to do with the gaming is being done on our side, and the payments goes directly to us. When actually, within the Facebook window, you open, at some point, you get into a cashier, which is the 888 cashier, the same cashier that you find when you just, you know, use our services outside. I think it's all a question whether this can become a viable business. And if it will, then we are in a possibly in the best position than anyone else to tap into this market. We are doing a lot of work now about this.
I think it's true to say, Ivor, that we continually review its performance and look at its growth. It's too early at this moment in time to say, and there are some encouraging signs, but we are not sure yet whether it is a real business.
And when you are talking about mobile, to what extent is the product now ready on every device? You can deposit on the mobile device and on the tablet. Is it now, I know it's not really just a question, but is it just a question of marketing and growing it, or is there still a technology piece that's not ready yet with mobile?
This is the core debate that we have internally in 888 about between marketing and technology. I would say that we have crossed a threshold in our product that actually brought the product into a situation in which it's valid. It has deposit, it had registration, it had number of games, poker, tournament on poker. So there is substance to the mobile offering itself, and there's a lot to do now with marketing. Still, there are many things that I can, you know, that we know that we need to do, and we're doing it. Part of them are in the platform itself, like, you know, the data mining of it, the tracking elements of it, the cross-sell element of between the different applications. How do you deal with so many applications that you have outside? We have, like, I think in the App Store we have like 20 different apps in all sorts and kind, in different jurisdictions, in different platforms. You need the one singular player's identity that is actually playing the whole lot of it. So there are so many things that needs to happen, a lot in the marketing and in the CRM. And of course, the product continues to develop. We've created teams that are now integrated part of the organization, on the poker team, on the casino team, on the bingo team, on the sports team. And these teams, from a technical perspective, they're continuously developing the product. As I showed you in the App Store screenshot, we know now where we need to go. I think that now, the challenge is to optimize this, to ensure that we're doing it effectively, to ensure that we learn the trade of SEO, of PPC, of everything that has to do with mobile, on marketing, on the mobile side, and all the CRM elements of it, the conversion of it. You see that sometimes, you know, it's better to acquire players on a mobile platform and then move them into the web. In other jurisdiction and another product, it's actually better to use mobile as a CRM tool, as a retention tool. So it's no clear, it's not black and white here. It's quite complicated, to be honest.
Thank you. In relation to costs in the US, did you spend a lot in 12 that you won't spend in 13 unless trading starts and then the business changes? Is there a cost benefit this year over last year?
The answer is most of it is not on P&L, because what we have done mainly this year, last year in the US, was development, which has been, most of it has been capitalized. this coming year there will be more investment, I suspect, in New Jersey, although the data center in Nevada is already done and dusted. So I don't expect a significant impact on the P&L for the US this year, perhaps.
And not a big reduction on the balance sheet?
There probably will be a reduction because, as I said, the data center in Nevada is up and running. Potentially in New Jersey, we will be able to convince the regulator to go with a lighter touch, if you like, a local vault rather than a whole data center. So if at all, I expect it actually to be lighter.
And thank you. Last one. Obviously, you've been very busy in the US. Is Dragonfish open for business for big B2B deals if they come along? Were you disappointed not to be working with Ladbrokes after your years of conversations with them? And are there still big B2B contracts there for Dragonfish to win outside the US?
We are still in discussion with many potential partners. Yes, I think it's true to say that we would have been an ideal partner for Ladbrokes. Naturally, it's quite disappointing when those sort of contracts seem to pass us by. I think we've got a lot to do to ensure that our B2B offer is really robust and that we can deliver on what we say we can deliver on. But yeah, there are still some big contracts out there, and I think those contracts potentially could be more lucrative in the US, and Dragonfish will be employed in that sort of area in the US. In the UK, not too sure that there are many partners that we would see as being of a substantial size that it would be worthwhile us investing and developing that structure, which we didn't get right last time through.
Can I just ask one quick question? On current trading, it's up 8%. If you stripped out sports, what would, because obviously margins have been very strong so far this year, what would current trading be up?
Our sport has not been very different from previously, so it would be still the same.
So a very quick follow-up, just on the B2C potential license in New Jersey, whose license would you look to use for that? And the second one, what are the possible outcomes of the sports review and what is most likely to happen for you guys? Thanks.
I'm going to be evasive on the first one. We are in discussions with two potential license operators in New Jersey. I think it would be wrong of me to disclose those at this moment in time. In terms of our sports book, I think we have looked very hard at every opportunity. We've looked at acquisitions, we've looked at doing things with businesses such as Ladbrokes, where we took a feed from them. We believe that the correct solution will be to go with another partner, but a partner which operates in multi-jurisdictions, not just the UK, which is what Blue Square did, and have an offer which is competitive and will allow us to drive our business, our actual B2C business in sport going forward. One of the things we did look at in terms of whether we would think of actually having our own operation is, if you look at the size of the market that we command in the UK, it's probably about 0.5% of the sports market. And where would we much prefer to put our money? Would it be in actually trying to build the infrastructure, or would it be to actually get that infrastructure in a robust state so that we can actually feel proud to be operating a sports book and then market it? And our decision was quite clearly that we felt marketing dollars was more beneficial and more worthwhile than attempting to build our own infrastructure. So you will see fairly shortly an announcement as to a partnership that will come through. if it's all done. Can I thank you all very much indeed for your time, and I hope that that you'll be here this time in 6 months' time, and that our story continues as it has done over the last year. Thank you very much indeed.